broadcasting from Dublin, Ireland, and around the world on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com and iTunes. You're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts show, the Talking Brawls Mixed Martial Arts Podcast.
This is Mike Dolce,
Ian McCall, James Little Evil Pulver,
the Crippler Chris Leaving,
Frank the Legend Shamrock.
Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.
And we are back to Talking Brawls MMA.com podcast from Berlin in the Fighter Hotel here ahead of UFC Fight Night Berlin. Myself and Keith Fitzpatrick is here with me, the legend that is. And I'm not going to lie to you, we're actually having a beer here at the moment. Just had our first one in the Fighter Hotel. All the lads are floating around here.
Yeah.
And Keith, really busy afternoon, obviously. Dana, media scrum for an hour and a half, nearly 2 hours.
It was
crazy. But Keith, first of all, how are you, my friend?
Wunderbar.
Wunderbar.
this place is amazing. It's an absolute privilege to be over here, to be honest. Different class. Germans are something else, like, so yeah.
Yeah, incredible city, unbelievable stuff here. Definitely the German crowd and people here have welcomed us with open arms, Keith. Keith, you know, there was a huge amount said today with Dana White in the media scrum. I asked him the question about, you know, there was a potential TV deal. There is a TV deal in place with an Irish broadcaster. That is a massive, massive deal for the sport in Ireland, if that comes to fruition. Obviously, with Conor McGregor being on the Late Late Show tonight in Dublin. What do you make of that?
Well, it's huge. I don't know if it'll be like a one-off thing, just kind of see how it goes, but if it's RTE,
it's massive.
That's a game changer. They know the O2 is probably too small anyway. They know that it's like they're going to become, this isn't going to be like all the other cities, I think, where it's once a year. Dublin's going to become, it's just going to open up massively. If it's on RTE, huge. Could be something to Ireland too, but it just seems the timing's there. McGregor's, you know, on the Late Late at a weird time, right in the middle of his training camp. Like, they gave him the opportunity, he was allowed to announce his own fight, so they seem like they've let him announce the deal as well. You
definitely
know.
And Keith, you just mentioned that to me there, you know, the O2 is not big enough, Colt Miller is not big enough according to Conor McGregor. You know, I mentioned to Dana there as well in the media scrum that, you know, what is the potential, or the, not the potential, you know, is it possible for the UFC to come back next year and do a stadium show? That would be absolutely fantastic, because there's no real indoor arena that's going to be able to facilitate the demand for tickets in Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it somewhere, like I've heard Croke Park. I don't think that's realistic. That's, you know, it's a long, long way from Vienna to do Croke Park, but why not the RDS? You know, you could do the RDS.
Yeah, definitely.
It'd definitely sell. The Viva, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be amazing. If there's a clean sweep, if McGregor gets to a level that, like, then he does the Poirier fight, if he wins that, that'll be one of, that could be, and you asked as well about a European title fight.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they do McGregor, Aldo, in Dublin, in the RDS and the Aviva Stadium? Yeah. Huge.
I asked Dana that as well. You touched on it there, Keith, about a title fight in Europe, and he seems pretty confident that he wants to do something by the end of this year, having a title fight. He said any fight is possible, but obviously you're going to go with what market suits you. It's not going to be Gustafsson Jones. He said that's going to be penciled in for Las Vegas more than likely. What division, or, you know, what title fight could you see taking place? Is it the Jose Aldo Conor McGregor?
I imagine if they're putting an awful lot, it seems, on McGregor's shoulders. He's basically carrying the Dublin card. Well, that's a bit
the weight of a nation,
in fairness, but the whole car was centered around Conor. Essentially, I think the sport is in Ireland as well.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment, it's, you go anywhere, people know who Conor McGregor is before they know even what the sport is.
Definitely.
Which is pretty annoying, but I'd imagine that would be it. Poirier win is the title shot.
You think so? Is that that quickly? Yes.
I think so. Yeah.
Do you not think they're going to build them up a little bit slower, possibly? Poirier, then someone else, maybe, or is it down to the keyword that a lot of people use in the world of mixed martial arts and in the word marketing and marketability.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be like McGregor. They've gone for this slow burn in effect, guys like Gunnar Nelson and a lot of other fighters like that. McGregor's is just, I think you can't ignore it.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like, we just have to put him in and see
what happens exactly.
A win over Poirier is huge.
And talking of Gunnar Nelson as well, you know, it's a big blow for Gunnar. Obviously, Ryan LaFleur pulled out of the fight yesterday. Zach Cummins is stepping in to replace him. That's a blow for the UFC as well, because I'm sure if Gunnar had have won that fight, you'd be looking at a title eliminator bout.
Yeah, well, we were talking about it a while back, and you were saying 18 months he'll have a title shot. This fight does absolutely nothing for that. He should win at a canter, but yeah, it is a huge disappointment, because it's similar to the Miller fight in a way. Anything can happen, of course, but it's a mismatch.
Yeah,
and it's a step back. There's nothing you can do. Like, it's better pulling the whole fight, I suppose.
As Dana said today, these things happen in mixed martial arts.
Yeah,
you know, we can't really complain.
Yeah,
we don't want that bug that we had 2 years ago striking back. But
yeah, he was the black tooth as well. Yeah.
But loads of stuff. You know, Dana was unbelievable with his time today. You know, he mentioned numerous things. The whole Ireland thing aside, you have, you know, you spoke about Ben Askren. What really stood out for you today with what Dana was saying? Anything that really surprised you?
Apart from the fact that it's probably the longest scrum I've ever seen. I would have thought 5-10 minutes we were in there, but he was very open. It was the, we kind of got in slightly late. We kind of heard the tail end of his talking about Vanderlei, saying Vanderlei is in big trouble. Just kind of, you know, he spoke pretty candidly, and even his guy too was like, we gotta move on, next question. He's like, no, let them speak, let them ask the questions. So he was, the Vanderlei stuff was, Denny Rutley was asked as well about Chael replacing him one day, you never know, is like leading promoter, is Dana ever gonna, you know, burn out some sort, you know. There's a lot to take in. I kind of have to watch it back to get a lot of it.
And George St. Pierre actually asked about that as well. St. Pierre is here, obviously cornering Francis Carmon. George, the question was asked, I said to him, you know, did he speak with GSP? And he said no, he hadn't spoken with George. And, you know, the knee injury, he's going to be out for some time still. But George was looking good, looking healthy and fit.
It looked like that was the first time they'd seen each other at the weigh-ins.
Yeah.
He kind of had a wry smile on him, as if like, this is awkward. I mean, he did say what he said, he's at least a year away.
At least a year away, yeah.
I mean, the second ACL, like, he's... Even if he does come back, he's not going to be the same.
Yeah, he definitely.
Can't. Like, I don't know. We say, you know, you look good and all that, you know. Even though he got, like, obviously not good enough to get into that nightclub, he got turned away from last night. But it's like, we've been there, George. Sorry.
Definitely. But it would be great, obviously, to see George back in there someday. Hopefully in the not too distant future. But Keith,
you don't want it to be a case like Anderson coming back.
Yeah.
Where he's probably too old. It's probably, you're coming back for a few fights, but you're not, you know, and realistically, GSP comes back after what will probably be 2 years, maybe 3 years, off a second ACL.
Yeah.
He's never going to be the same. And you kind of think, like, do I want to watch George St. Pierre not at his best? It's probably no.
Mm.
But then, selfishly, of course, it's GSP. Like, he, whatever you think about the Hendricks fight, he never lost the belt. So it's something.
Is the case where you'd like to see him retired and not come back, you know, leave the sport with the legacy that he had? And, you know, because we see time after time, so many guys retire, then they come back, and you always remember them all, you know, in a different light if they lose a few bouts after they come back.
Yeah, and the way I look at it is as well, if you retire off a win, you're kind of thinking, oh, he could have still gone on, who knows?
Yeah.
Where, I'm not a bit, you can Anderson retiring would have been fine. Well, that would, it's still great to me. I still think he'd have a bit more.
Anderson will be back.
I don't think he's done for in terms of title aspirations either.
Yeah.
I don't know. GSP, the knee injury, though, as I said, it's I think he should hang it up, to be honest.
Alright guys, obviously if you want to hit us up, you can catch us on the website talkingbrawlsmma.com. You can catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, everything, TuneIn Radio, Podomatic, wherever you want to find us. You can listen in obviously on the website as well. Hit us up on Twitter at TBMMADOTCOM. I'm at Niall McGrath. For Keith, what's your Twitter handle?
At Keith MacGP.
So there you have it, that's Keith's Twitter handle also. So yeah, hit us up on there if you want to get in contact with us, and obviously the details of our emails and stuff are on the website, so you can get in direct contact with us there. Dana also mentioned that the post-fight media scrum, or pre-fight media scrum should I say, that you know, the Conor McGregor fight is likely to be on Fox Sports in the US. Dana's just gone on, he says there's so much hype around this fight, it being obviously Conor McGregor. That's obviously a huge bonus as well.
Yeah, it's, he was saying how obviously Dublin, like in Ireland, it's, there's a huge buzz for him. He's like, over in the States, people are going crazy to see this fight as well. Which you kind of expected, because yeah, a lot of people are seem to be jumping on the bandwagon slightly. It's the Fox thing makes sense. It's not a huge surprise, really.
Yeah, Fox Sports won.
Yeah, and he was saying as well, they were offered the fight pass stuff, and they're regretting not taking it now because of all the great fights they basically missed out on. But yeah, it's on Fox, I mean, the more people can see it, the better.
Yeah, definitely. Great stuff altogether. And he also mentioned to Andrew McGann, obviously Andrew's my co-host on the regular podcast here, that he's going to add more fights to the Dublin card.
Yeah, Andrew's.
Do we take that tongue in cheek, or what way do we look at that,
like,
Keith?
It was tongue in cheek. He just said, yeah, if you want more fights, fine, I'll put three more on. And we're like, really? Really should have asked, is there going to be more Irish guys in the card? But yeah, the question was kind of, is it going to be a typical EMEA event, which is only like maybe 8 to 10 fights, or is it going to be your, you know, pay-per-view standard, which gets 13, 14, 15? So he said, yeah, we'll add three more. So we'll see if he does.
Definitely. It's going to be a barn burner event, obviously. We're really, really looking forward to it here. Obviously, being Irish, and obviously covered the sport for 2 years, the fact that, you know, it's coming back to our homeland, something we've, when we started out the podcast, was to really, you know, put awareness of the sport in the country, and it's great to have it coming back. It's going to be some week.
Yeah, kind of come full circle now, really. Yeah, it's just going to be nice, like, for people who, yeah, exactly, it's just educating people, and that's the best thing you can do, is just put the bloody show on.
Put the bloody show on.
People, you know, it's hard to ask someone to stay up till 3 a.m. to watch a huge UFC pay-per-view.
Definitely.
There's a lot of, like, there's a lot more European events, but to watch, you know, the big John Jones fight, or big, you know, Johnny Hendricks fights.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracker. Yeah. And sorry, Keith, did I interrupt you today?
It's just saying, really, yeah, it's basically, you can explain the sport, you can say, I saw that. To watch it live is amazing. We'd be pretty hardcore fans, so we, you know, mostly we would stay up to that, but getting a casual, someone, a newcomer to the sport, to say you have to stay up, it's, so bringing it, and it'll hopefully get more interest in the local shows as well. People start going, oh yeah, was it, well, there's MMA shows on, you know, a few times a month. They're not UFC, but you know, the people will know the sport exists, essentially, and you don't have to start explaining what mixed martial arts is, which is a pain in the whole
place. People a lot in Ireland who do not know about the sport, the class is a barbaric sport, which obviously, you know, it isn't.
Yeah, it's just education.
There's a lot of distractions around here, isn't there?
Yeah, everyone's walking around.
Mrs. Carney Baker is probably the biggest one. Keith is his eyes wide open here. But Keith, looking at the card itself, it's a really interesting card. There's two fights, obviously the main two fights that we were going to focus on the most. But you know, a guy this week, and we mentioned on the podcast last week, myself and Andrew McGann, is Nick Hine, a really fascinating guy. He's obviously an actor, he's a mixed martial artist, and he's a police sergeant.
Yeah,
how, like, it really is incredible, sort of story. Or he's a really fascinating character.
He was brilliant when he came in at the weigh-ins earlier as well, and he had the full riot gear on. He was twirling his police baton and everything, and you know, really, really confident guy. He was in the scrum there. He was kind of like going, basically police. Yeah, he's a police sergeant. He gave him time off to become a, you know, to train for the fight, and he's like an actor too, and it's.
He's the complete package.
Yeah, he's a pretty impressive guy. He was very, very confident, very, you know, very good English. Yeah. We weren't sure, like, but this is, you know, he's undefeated, sure, isn't he?
Yeah, he's undefeated as far as I know.
Kind of talked up Germany, the MMA scene in Germany as well. You can check that out on the website, I suppose. There's an article up on that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him. I've never seen him fight, obviously, but...
He's fighting Drew Dober.
Drew Dober, yeah.
Interesting fight. Dober's 14-5-0. I'm not going to lie, I don't know too much about Drew. We saw his fight against Sean Spencer at UFC Ultimate Fighter Finale 18, where he lost a unanimous decision. Interesting fight. What way do you see it going, Keith?
Well, it'd be big for Nick Hoyne to get the win anyway. Just the UFC, and I don't care what the UFC say, you're obviously not going to come out and say what we prefer, but I mean, the German guy winning in Germany.
Sorry, Nick has one loss on his record.
He's one loss?
Yeah, okay. One loss on his record against Sebastian Rischke.
Yeah, I thought it was funny as well. Drew Dober came out the weigh-ins with an I Love Berlin t-shirt. And yeah. It's like, there's nothing you could possibly do to get the fans to cheer you on Saturday night. Like, honestly, I don't think I've seen Dober fight. It's just, but.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he finds a police sergeant.
It's going to be interesting. I'm not going to give I'm not going to give a fight prediction myself.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie there.
But the only thing I would have said, Dober looked a lot bigger in the weigh-ins. He looks like he's a big lightweight.
I don't know if you can take much from weigh-ins really in terms of, but Hine just looked
a little bit smaller.
Drew Dober turned his back, kind of walked away, and Hine was still kind of staring at him.
Yeah.
Watching him walk away. He just looks supremely confident, and it's literally all I can judge this fight on. It's the weigh-ins. I've never seen either guy fight, so.
Another really interesting fight on the prelims is Yuri Alcantara against Vaughn Lee. Vaughn Lee coming off a really good performance against Nam Phan. And Alcantara has obviously been in the octagon before with the likes of Uriah Faber, and is coming off a great win over Wilson Heiss. This is a fascinating fight on paper, Keith.
Yeah, it's Alcantara's the favourite, isn't he?
I would think so.
I don't know. I think it's like a pick 'em, to be honest.
Was that the best Vaughn Lee we've ever seen in his last fight against Nam Phan? He was it was a fantastic performance.
Yeah, most, yeah, definitely. I mean, his last loss before that was Aswin Sow. He's pretty much the number one contender. So,
and he's lost to TJ Dillashaw obviously as well, a submission neck crank in July 2012. But it really is a big fight for Vaughn Lee. It's probably a bigger fight for Vaughn than it is for
similar. Yeah, because
Alcantara.
He wins every other fight, and it was similar to the Eric Silva thing where it's last win, you need to get a consistency on. He needs to win to essentially get a groove going in the UFC, because you can't, like, you're going up and down. He's not even ranked as far as I know. Alcantara is number 7. He becomes ranked at the win, which, say what you want about the rankings, but you know, they all want that little hashtag number beside the name. It's a huge fight, bigger fight for Vaughn Lee than Alcantara.
Why do you see it going, Keith, ultimately?
I'd say Alcantara wins it, to be honest.
Prediction? We're going to see a finish. Is this going to go to decision?
I'll probably go with decision.
Okay. I'm going to go with Vaughn Lee. I was really impressed with his last fight against Nam Phan. I'm going to look for Vaughn Lee to win, take a decision in this fight against Yuri Alcantara. It's going to be a fascinating scrap. We saw how well Vaughn's striking was in the last fight. A really complete performance. So I'm going to look to Vaughn Lee to take this fight. Another fight that, you know, there's a lot at stake for Andy Ogle against Maximo Blanco. Andy looked really pumped up at the weigh-ins, as you mentioned to me earlier on.
His whole family does.
Earlier on, the whole the Ogle clan, they travel everywhere. But if Andy loses this, it's going to be 3 straight. Is this is he fighting for his for his career?
Yeah, definitely. Pretty much for Blanco as well.
Yeah, Blanco's on a...
Yeah, back-to-back losses.
Back-to-back losses
they're
as well.
They're both 1-3 in the UFC. Very similar, yeah. Blanco would go to 9-7 and 1 with it. It's... Loser goes home.
Andy's been in this situation before against Josh Grisby. A lot of people said if he'd lost to Josh Grisby, it was a loser-leaves-town match, and that's what ultimately happened. Josh Grisby got released after losing that fight. Do you see the same happening here?
Well, what could happen is... If it's a fight of the night, you don't see either being cut. It could be go out in your shield. It might be 3 straight losses, but it could be okay, we're gonna keep him around. He put on a great fight. They do. UFC tend to reward guys like that.
The most recent sort of example of that, Keith, is obviously Pat Bam Bam Healy, a guy who's a very good friend of the show here, Tone Brawls. They've kept Pat around. Pat's lost three straight, and it's very rare you see that guys hang around. Matt Brown, I know, in you know, earlier on in his career, stayed around
Garcia
after four fights. Leonard Garcia.
How many fights he lost in a row?
It was five, I think.
Wars.
Five.
Absolute war. And obviously he's not there now. He got even Vanderlei. I know whatever Vanderlei's probably done in the UFC now, but Vanderlei can't string two wins together, and hasn't done for years.
Yeah.
To keep him around, because
he's a marketable guy.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So there is a way of. I hate these fights that.
Does Andy have the advantage in this fight? Because sorry, just burped there. Does Andy have the advantage in this fight because he's been in the situation before? He knows how to deal with this pressure. Surely that speaks for something when we're looking at this fight.
Possibly, yeah. It's a fight to fight, though. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't know if that is a huge kind of factor coming in, but I'd like to think that they prepare essentially as best as they can for no matter whether it's possibly your last fight or whatever. I think he just wants to win as much as he would any fight. He has to win. It's one of these fights where you hate to see the possibility of a guy essentially losing his job.
Definitely.
You can go to another company, but you're basically getting a demotion.
So what way do you see it going, ultimately?
Going to sound boring again, but I'll say all the decision.
I'm going exactly the same, exactly the same thing. Like Andy's going to grind it out. He's been in the psychological element of this. I think he's been in the position before. He's going to now deal with the pressure.
Plus, you kind of want, I don't know anything about Maximo Blanco in terms of, but I mean, I was in London last year.
Yeah.
Andy Ogle couldn't have been a nicer guy. He was.
Yeah, we've had Andy on the show. I've spoken to Andy a few times. Really good guy.
I kind of want him to do well.
Yeah. So, you invest, and then obviously the Ultimate Fighter.
People supposed to be impartial, I suppose.
People invested in Andy Ogle as a character.
Yeah.
He was a really nice guy. He is a very genuine guy.
Trash talking at the weigh-in, so surprising. Yeah. He was real nice and waving to the fans, and then he got in Blanco's face and was like
the whole Ogle plan.
Expletives thrown there, which is surprising.
Yeah, it is surprising, but it's going to be a good fight. One I'm definitely looking forward to. Okay, let's move on to the main card, Keith. We have a guy in Tom Ninomaki, who's fighting Nicholas Backstrom. There was a huge support for Tom here at the weigh-ins today. Obviously, the Finnish fighter, the sport there is really, really taken off. He's coming off a really good win against Ronnie Yahad, the Ultimate Fighter 18. Another example of guys being on the same card, Drew Dober, Ronnie Yahad. It's strange the way the UFC do this, but big fight for the Finnish fighter against Nicholas Backstrom. What way do you see this fight, and what are we going to see in this fight on Saturday night?
Don't know an awful lot about Nicholas Backstrom, to be honest.
Yeah.
Other than he has Gustafsson in his corner. I'm seeing it being touted as potential fight tonight. So it's one of these, another one I'm kind of
looking out for. I believe a few people have mentioned that on social networks.
Yeah.
That.
So. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
It's a potential fight.
Yeah, it could be a cracker. See what happens.
It's going to be interesting to see because obviously we've Tom Ninomaki, who's been in the UFC before, fighting here, obviously, in Berlin. Does that, the nerves of your debut, how much of a factor does that play, on come fight night, come fight week? It's about really dealing with the pressure and putting it to one side and not thinking about it. Surely we're going to have a situation here where Ninomaki's going to be a little bit more
UFC debuts. And
relaxed.
Recent interview with Neil Siri, I think it was on Severe MMA, where he said he knew there was you do notice it when you step into that cage, there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
As the likes of Cage Warriors or the local shows are there. So, I mean, I'd say fighters can say there's no difference all day, but I mean, there is. It has to be. But then again, we'll see. Everyone's different.
Yeah, that's so it. It's about
some guys relish it. Some guys might kind of this is a lot bigger than I expect, and I don't know. But a lot of guys say that they don't even hear. They get into the cage and everything's shut out.
Yeah.
Which so depends. I don't know. It depends. Every guy's different, I suppose.
Definitely. What way do you see the fight going? Take your time there, Keith. With your drink
just having
beside
you. I'll go with Backstrom.
Yeah, any particular reason?
Really? Gustafsson's in his corner, I suppose.
I'm going to go with the Finnish fighter. I think, you know, I've seen enough of Tom Niinimäki where I believe he's going to grind out a decision here. Okay, so Keith, obviously, with that fight out of the way, let's get on to the third fight on the main card. Sorry, the second fight on the main card. Luke Big Slow Barnett versus Sean Strickland. Sean Strickland's coming off a very impressive win against Bubba McDaniel. And obviously Luke's coming off a win against Mats Nielsen in UFC London. When was that? Last month? When was I over that? February?
March.
February, I think it was. Both guys unbeaten. We got the chance to speak to Sean Strickland yesterday. Yeah. And Sean was, you know, he put in. We know we're both unbeaten, but we've all seen Luke Barnett get knocked out. What do you see with this fight?
I go with Barnett because the size difference is massive.
Yeah.
Strickland was adamant though. Is Luke striking? He gets by basically.
Yeah.
Because of his height and reach, and he was downplaying his striking. He was like, well, yeah, but you know, still, that's he uses what he has.
Yeah.
Strickland, I mean, his one UFC fight was a quick win, so
yeah.
He can't really, you know, I wouldn't have seen any of his fights before that, so, you know, he really has to get inside on Luke. Luke, with any sense, he'll keep him at a distance. He has to use his reach.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd go with Luke. Although Strickland, you know, there's a good bet there. If Sean Strickland like could pull this off, there could be a few bob to be made there. If you're a gambler. But yeah, I'd go with. I think it's gonna be a great fight. I think this is actually one of the ones I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Strickland kind of stoked the fires a little bit with that comment. We've all seen him being knocked out. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah. There's a little bit of underlying as well. A few comments have been said in the last week. Luke Barnett has said, you know, Paradigm Sports Management, Modi Attar's MMA agency, that, you know, they have a agenda against Luke Barnett. What do you make of those comments?
Not much, to be honest. he had a lot to say about it at the scrum. As usual, you tend to have a lot to say. I can't imagine there's a vendetta out against him.
Yeah.
To be honest. Although what he did say was probably a bit of waffle, to be honest. But I wouldn't read much into that.
Sean Strickland, did he submit Bubba McDaniel?
Yeah, it was a rear naked choke.
Yeah, I think so.
That's probably the saddest I've ever seen a guy after.
Yeah.
He looked like he was about to break.
He's signed for Bellator now, Bubba McDaniel.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for Sean Strickland to win this fight. I think it's a big stack up for Luke Barnett. I was impressed with Strickland. He's a very confident guy like Luke Barnett, but I'm just going to look for him to take advantage and possibly try and get in the inside and maybe look to get Luke on the deck and maybe look for a choke. That's the way I see this fight going. I'm going to go with Sean Strickland.
Could be very similar to the Ilir Latifi and
Cyril Diabate.
Cyril Diabate fight. Never get that name right. in that sense, yeah. Whereas you would think one guy, Latifi, that was like the textbook performance of how to beat the lankier guy, essentially.
Yeah.
Being a shorter guy.
Well, Michael Johnson was sitting beside us there a second ago. He's a big fight coming up. Michael's a big fight coming up against.
Yeah.
Who's he fighting?
Josh Thompson.
Josh Thompson. That's an absolute barn burner of a fight.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that one.
That card is insane, right?
Yeah,
now.
Insane. It's going to be an absolute barn burner. Okay, Keith. Moving on. Co-main event of the evening. Let's talk about it a little bit. Francis Carmon, he's coming off a loss to Jacare. We know how good Carmon is. You know, his ground game is fantastic. And Seba Dolloway is coming off a really, really impressive win against Cesar Mutante Ferreira. It's a really intriguing fight because, you know, it can go so many ways, this fight. And speaking to CB yesterday, we know how much he said he's worked on his ground game, and he is a grappler. But, you know, is this a real test for both guys to try and, you know, stay in that, you know, stay just outside the picture, so to say?
You kind of never know with Dolloway.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really compliment like complimentive of Carmont's ground game.
And
he was asked about, you know, Carmont, is he a kind of a, is he a boring fighter? And he was just
like, who asked that?
He's just like, no, I think he's fantastic.
But like the guy throws, I think his UFC average is like two strikes a minute.
He's
lands,
he's
like, which is.
But Carmont, like, what was he? Five straight in the UFC. Before that, Jacare loss. So yeah, I think we are. It's one of the fights that, you know, it's, you know what both guys are going into going to do. Like Carmont's going to go straight to takedown.
CB's going to look to keep it standing. Obviously,
yeah,
that brilliant knockout against Vicente.
That was an absolute cracker.
It's a tough one to call, this. It really is. I think it's a fascinating fight.
I would go with probably Carmont.
Do you think he's gonna neutralize him and you know, take it to the deck and
be, you know? Although I'd love to see it all the way.
Yeah.
Get the knockout win, like. Cause, yeah, I'd say I'd probably head over heart go with Carmont by decision with this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to go Francis Carmon's way. I think he's just going to neutralise what CB does best. Carmon is so good at doing that. Not my favourite fighter in the world to watch, I'm going to be brutally honest about that. But like a lot of other people, he's efficient, he's slick, gets the job done.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the way tomorrow night. I'm going to look for a Francis Carmon decision victory here in Berlin tomorrow night. Mark Munoz versus Gegard Mousasi. Both guys coming off losses to Lyoto the Dragon Machida last time out. This is a really fascinating fight, in my opinion. Gegard Mousasi, as I asked him yesterday, and I've asked him before, if you're a regular listener to the show, you would have heard the interview with Gegard before. And I asked him before, and I asked him again, you know, he's a guy who suffers with motivation problems going into fights. This is a real concern for Gegard Mousasi almost every fight, but I think, you know, coming into this fight, he seemed to changed up his camp a little bit. As far as I'm aware, there doesn't seem to be the big entourage that's been with him in previous fights. I was over in Sweden and he had a 15-man entourage with him the last time. You know, what are we going to see from the former Strikeforce champion in Gegard Mousasi tomorrow night against Mark the Filipino Wrecking Machine Munoz?
Yeah, he seemed a lot more, he just seemed happier. He was, you know, you kind of see him in interviews and you know, he's just going through the motions.
Yeah.
He seemed genuinely, you know, pleased
to be here.
He stayed back and he was talking to other people. It was, you know, it was pretty cool. Like, he says he changed. I mean, he mentioned a good few times that he blamed his corner for the cheat loss. He said it was all about the game plan. The strategy was wrong. And my corner basically didn't adapt the game plan to suit the fight. They just stayed with the same game plan, and says he's changed things up because from that. So yeah, whereas Mark Munoz is 100%, like, I'm going for the takedown. You know what Mark Munoz is going to do, but it's a very important fight for Gegard Mousasi, because he came into the UFC on, you know, a big run, a lot of hype.
You got to give him credit on his debut fight as well. He did his knee and still fought against Ilir Latifi.
Yeah, we've seen Latifi's performance against Diabate then as well. You're kind of like, Latifi's just a candy brought into, you know.
He's not. He was a very impressive
that's
performance.
What I mean. Like, you see there that, no, Mousasi beat a very good fighter. So,
and what do we look for Mark Munoz in this fight? Mark's clearly going to use his wrestling. He's not going to want to stand and bang with Gegard Mousasi, because, you know, Mark's wrestling has been the backbone, the foundations of, you know, why he's become such a name in the middleweight division in the UFC.
Yeah, but he'll probably just be looking at the King Mo fight against Gegard Mousasi. Just do that, rinse, repeat. I mean, Mousasi, I think it's just a bigger fight for Mousasi. I think everything's just there for him to get this win.
And, you know, looking at the bigger picture, you know, saying if Carmon wins tomorrow night, and say Gegard wins, just for an example, you know, is that a fight that potentially could happen? Is these two guys facing off, Carmona against Mousasi, if they're about to be victorious, or vice versa?
I wouldn't be too excited if it was Gegard Mousasi to be fighting Carmona. Like, it'd be like another wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, what are you trying to tell me here? I know Mousasi was a little less confident in where he stands in the division than Munoz was. Munoz was basically, if I win this, I'm probably one fight away from the title shot.
Yeah.
Gegard was kind of like, I need three or four big performances before I can be a contender. Which I think is a little unreal. I think Musasi's a bigger name, so I think a big win tomorrow, another big win after that, and I think he's right back in there.
And looking at this fight, what way do you see it going? Because, you know, ultimately, you've Mark Muniz's wrestling, as we've mentioned, we've Gegard's stand-up. It's a fascinating contest. And, you know, can Gegard, you know, bring that sort of aggression level of high-quality performance into this fight tomorrow night?
Yeah, he just...
He looks like he's oozing it at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the changes, he acknowledges the changes. Yeah. A lot of people don't, you know, a lot of fighters don't do that. I mean, he seems like he's gotten rid of a lot of the yes men he had in his camp.
Exactly.
A bit of cop on. He said it's great that, he said he's nervous, but it's a good nerve.
Yeah.
Good nerves, basically. All his family are here. He has friends here watching.
Yeah.
Anytime he's been nervous before a fight, it's been the best performances he's ever had. So, yeah, fighting in Berlin, which is pretty close, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just
pretty close to home, Netherlands.
It's
speaking of Mark Muniz, and he seems just about 10 minutes ago outside the front of the hotel here. Mark seems very, very confident as well. He seems really relaxed. He's out taking pictures with the fans outside.
Yeah.
Just a guy who really seems to overcome his personal demons that he's had in the past. And you got to respect a guy like that as well.
Mark really relishes the ambassador role he's kind of been put under.
He's a fantastic guy. You should see outside there, guys. You know, signing. So much time.
Like in this sport.
Yeah.
He said it as well. He's like, he loves fighting in different countries. And I think, I hope the UFC do when they do go to, if they do get the Philippines, no, they do reward him with that. I mean,
that was another thing Dana mentioned in the,
yeah,
the scrum.
Very. He mentioned something to do with the,
they've been trying to get it for,
the deal fell apart.
They've been trying to get it for 3 years, he mentioned today.
He said 3 years ago when the economies collapsed. I think it was a lot longer than 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But, Mark Muniz is, he's a great guy. It's one of these as well. I don't want either guy to lose.
Yeah. But that's going to happen obviously, unless we have a draw. Well, not obviously.
Okay.
Keith's waffling shit here. Okay. Keith, ultimately, what way does this fight go? Mark Muniz and Gegard Musasi.
Musasi by knockout, probably. I can see some knees against the fence or something. He's going to get in and clinch. So I just have that. I've been picturing that. Kind of meant to maybe second round.
Yeah.
I think it's huge, huge. This is going to be the finally Musasi arriving in the UFC. And I think he's after that one or two. I mean, let's. He got a decision.
He's two fights away from a title.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't get destroyed by Machida. I mean, he lost well, but I mean, it was a decision essentially. Muniz, you know, they could never possibly mark a Muniz. Like, he's been knocked out by both Weidman and Machida. So, you wouldn't, or I don't know if he was knocked out by Weidman.
Fantastic elbow, UFC on fuel.
So, yeah, it'd be a lot harder to mark him. Muniz in a title shot. But Musasi, 100%. Big win here, another big win after that. He's right up there.
Yeah, I really fancy Gegard Musasi as well. I look for Gegard to open up the fight with, you know, keep the fight standing. The accumulation of strikes in the first round we're going to see, and ultimately we're going to see a TKO in the second. Mid to late second round, I'm going Gegard Musasi. I just think the stand-up is going to be a massive factor here. We've seen Mark get knocked out before in the past quite violently. It's something that Mark has problems with. So I'm going to look for Gegard Musasi to take this fight down on Saturday night, right here in Berlin, the beautiful Berlin. We've had a few Berliners, Keith, haven't we?
We've had a few.
Yeah. Over the last couple of days.
I wouldn't begrudge us sitting down, in fairness. We're in essentially the best country in the world for beer.
Keith was telling me he's thinking about moving over to Germany.
I wouldn't rule it out. They do everything right over here.
Definitely.
They put Dublin to shame. Like, it's
the beer's a lot cheaper here than at home as well.
People are, you know what I mean, people are walking around with bottles of beer in their hands, but you know they're not biting the heads off each other like it would be in Dublin.
And guys, apologies anyone who's listening and we didn't get the scrum up. Our camera battery went dead, unfortunately.
Teething problems.
Teething problems. That's it. It's new, and I hope you're enjoying the videos. And we had a nightmare yesterday as well, with our internet connection in the apartment we're staying. So it hasn't boded well. It's just teething problems, as Keith mentioned. We'll have it resolved by UFC Dublin, and some big news potentially coming up in a couple of weeks here before the UFC Dublin card. So stay posted on talkingbrawlsmma.com for that. Keith, just on a scale of 1 to 10, this card as a whole, are you excited?
Yeah, big time. I mean, covering it, when you're writing about it,
yeah,
learning about these guys that you didn't, like half the guys I wouldn't have known before.
Yeah,
this card.
Of course.
Speaking to them, it's brilliant. The stories, you know. Yeah, when you invest more into it, you care a lot more.
Like, definitely.
And I can't wait. You kind of forget that you're actually here to watch the fights. But yeah, I cannot wait for tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I'd say, it'd be absolutely brilliant. Like.
Yeah, can't wait for myself. Really looking forward to it. And obviously, Ultimate Fighter Brazil as well. We'll have a little talk about that. There's some fascinating fights. And I'm asking another thing today against about the Ultimate Fighter in Brazil. Because Chael's mentioned this week and over the last numerous amount of weeks about the standard. He said these guys, some of them that are fighting in the Ultimate Fighter Brazil, are potential world champions. For example, Varley Alves, he's mentioned, he believes he's a potential world champion. How good has the Ultimate Fighter been this year? And, you know, there is some really exciting fights to watch out for tomorrow night as well in the Ultimate Fighter Brazil.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Ronnie Jason.
Honey Jason, get it right.
Yeah. He's an intense guy.
Yeah.
Not so much the main event. I think that'll be similar to the Cormier-Henderson fight, where just like, this is just not fair.
I agree.
I mean, even seeing the stare down at the press conference there yesterday.
You didn't get excited for it?
No, I was just kind of looking at a guy who was just huge. Like, Miocic is just this essentially brick shit house. And then you've got Maldonado, which is kind of...
I always say this, I don't think people realise how big of a guy Stipe is. I saw his fight in Nottingham, where he lost to Stefan Struve. He is a big dude.
It's not one of these. I don't think he knocks out Maldonado either. I don't think that's possible. I think he can. Maldonado's just a machine, but it's five rounds of watching a guy. It's going to probably be five rounds of watching a guy.
I disagree with you. I think Stipe is going to finish him in the third round. I just think
I hope it's quick.
You know, there's elements of Stipe's game. We spoke to Stipe actually, you know, before the change of opponent was announced. Obviously, he was supposed to be JDS, but we spoke to Stipe, I think it must have been about 2 months ago now. I don't think people give him enough credit for his stand-up and how good it actually is. And another thing that Stipe's never used in his mixed martial arts career, it's similar to what we talked about with James Krause last week, that, you know, he finds it... Sorry, not James Krause, Cody Donovan last week. You know, he finds it hard to put everything together. Is that a case, you know, with Stipe as well, where he could implement his wrestling more and, you know, become a more complete mixed martial artist?
It's working for him now. So, I mean, there's no point in just start wrestling in fights just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's getting results from what he's doing.
Kickboxing is just outstanding and it's working.
And he's so fast as well, Stipe.
Yeah, it could be a case where he has it in his arse just for it, in case, you know, it's the defensive mechanism, essentially. It's a pity because the De Santos fight, you could have seen that.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't have seen him outstrike Dos Santos, and it might have got to the point where he's like, wait, I'm going to have to take this down, whereas Maldonado's just going to be an exhibition.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'd say he has it there, fine, but just wait, you know, if it ain't broke, you know.
So, from what you're saying, I believe you're going to be going with a Stipe Miocic decision
Fabio
victory.
Fabio Ronaldo submission first round. No. I'm going to go with decision. Although five rounds, it's asking a lot for someone to survive, even if it is Maldonado. But yeah. Possible decision, yeah.
I'm going to go Stipe Miocic third round TKO. I know Maldonado's a tough dude, a really, really tough dude. We've seen him withstand an awful lot of punishment in the past and being a fight of the night fighter. But I just think Stipe is going to have too much power, and the step up as well in weight class, I think, is going to be significant.
Yeah.
And I just don't see where Maldonado hurts Stipe. His boxing is very good, but I just think Stipe is better, bigger, powerful, stronger, and that counts for a lot in mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, yeah, look out for the other fights. They're absolute barn burners as well. We've Vardy Alves against Lyoto, if you watch the Ultimate Fighter Brazil. And that's going to be a cracking fight too, and there's some potential absolute barn burners on that card.
Well.
Amaya's fighting as well. That's it. So really interesting stuff all together there. Obviously the first time the UFC have done two fight cards in one night, so it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out as well. So obviously you can catch the fights on a UFC Fight Pass from Berlin and BT Sports if you're back home.
Essentially, was it
in Ireland?
8:00.
Yeah.
About on Fight Pass. As soon as that's finished at 11, prelim start for tough Brazil. So
yeah.
You're in it for a long night if you're going to stay up and watch a lot of them.
Definitely, it's going to be absolutely really, really good fun. And Frock Rose is on as well, so check that one out. You'll have one eye on that as well.
At the same time as the Musasi, 10:00 is well, we'd be 11 local time here, I suppose.
We'd be in the arena, so.
But, yeah, unfortunately, we probably missed that one.
Yeah, big time, looking forward to everything that's going to go down tomorrow night. It's going to be fantastic. Blah, 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 blah. It's going to be savage. Fantastic.
Yeah, great weekend of fights.
All right, guys, obviously, you want to hit us up. You can catch us on the website, talkingbrawlsmma.com. You can catch me on Twitter at nomograph4 and at TBMMADOTCOM. Keith, what's your Twitter handle?
Keith McGP.
There we go. There you have it. You can hit us up on that. And obviously, talkingbrawlsmma@gmail.com if you want to get in direct contact with the show. Keith, just before we wrap it up, Dana's comments today, always fun to chat with Dana.
Yeah.
Dublin, a few weeks' time, it's going to be crack.
Yeah, it was great to see how excited they were, and they're acknowledging how big a deal this is.
Yeah.
We've been hounding them for 5 years, essentially, to come back. It's a huge show. It's probably going to be the biggest Europe show.
Yeah, that's why Fox Sports are
it's easily. So yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they come over, like, for give it 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Make it.
Yeah.
But
it's gonna be unreal.
Yeah.
Can't wait for it. Okay, guys. Big thanks for listening in here today, and thanks to all the lovely, wonderful fans and people in Germany for being very hospitable to us here. And I'll be back obviously next week. On the show, and hopefully a couple of big guests coming in the next couple of weeks, so really looking forward to that. And so yeah, just thanks for listening again, and enjoy the fights tomorrow night from Keith G. MacP,
MacGP
on Twitter, whatever he wants to call himself. Bloody follow on Twitter, for fuck's sake, guys. But just hit Keith up. He's really crying here. He looks quite teary eyed here. So hook a brother up. From Keith Fitzgerald. Keith Fitzpatrick. That's a terrible thing to say. Keith Fitzpatrick and myself. And check out, Keith's put up some great stuff this week from UFC Berlin, so hit that shit up. And that's it, from Keith Fitzgerald and myself. Joe, Keith Fitzpatrick and myself. It's good luck and good night from Berlin. Thanks for listening.
All the best.
Sorry about that, Keith
Fitzgerald.